Welcome to this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Hope you're doing well. I had a different topic for this podcast this week, but as I was sitting in the studio, which is, those of you who don't know, my studio is named Silly Dog Studios after my dog, Eva. She's an Australian Shepherd, and she's a little bit, well, silly for one thing, but she hates pillows on sofas and chairs. And so in the studio, she gets to sit on the sofa. And I noticed her this morning jumping up on there, and she was flipping off the pillows and got down to where there was just one pillow on the sofa. And I, as she was doing it, she kept looking at the pillow as she flipped it off. And the look on her face kind of translated into my own mind as too many pillows, too many pillows, too many pillows as she flipped them off so she could actually get a spot she wanted to lay down. The reason that's all relevant is that jump started in me an idea for something that happens a lot in my own photography. And that's the notion of too much of something. And there's too many things. There's too much going on. And it's easy for that topic when you think about too much gear. I mean, I think one of the things photographers should attempt to do one day, not like your studio equipment, but all your just camera equipment, your camera lenses, is put those in a bag or put those in a backpack and carry those around for an hour. You'll probably decide pretty quick that you have too much gear. The things you can't carry might be too much. Too much processing is another one. That one came to mind almost instantaneously, where we overwork an image too much. And it's easy to see, it's easy to pick out, it's easy to identify that, in fact, that image was damaged or hindered to its optimum quality, its optimum appearance, by our overworking things in the post-production world. But outside the two obvious ones, it occurred to me that there's several other things that we might have too much of. And it's one of those things that I bet if you paused the podcast for a second and wrote down a few things that you think you have too much of, not even necessarily photographically or creatively, you could probably come up with a list of an amazing number of things that you might have too many of. Maybe you're a person who has too many t-shirts. Maybe you're a person who has too many old cardboard boxes laying around you haven't recycled. Whatever it is. And I'm not saying that everybody's a hoarder, although I'm sure there are people of us, those of us out there who like to hoard certain things. But as we look at the work, as we look at the photography and the creativity practice, it occurred to me that a couple of these things that happen too much might be worth talking about a little bit more, hence today's podcast, thanks to the crazy dog on the sofa. The first one that I wanted to talk about, like I said, outside the obvious ones of gear and processing, is the notion of talking too much. Anybody who's ever listened to this podcast at any length knows that I think language and being able to talk about your photography and talk about photography in a meaningful way, whether it's yours or somebody else's, is a critical skill, if not one of the most critical skills we have as photographers. If you want to be able to learn and talk about your work, if you want to be able to get insightful help about your work, if you want to make an insightful understanding of photography and its impact, we need to articulate that somehow. We need to communicate that verbally somehow. That being said, I do think there is a point where you notice that somebody talks a lot about their photography and they seem to do an amazing job of talking about their photography, and none of that conversation actually lines up with the photography. So there's a fine line between not saying anything about work, not saying anything about your work, not getting any insights about your work through language. And there's another one where people talk too much about the work and the language doesn't match the photograph. So what they have is a complete clarity of concept. They have a clarity of the idea they want to create, and it doesn't necessarily translate photographically. Or they happen to choose photography as the medium that they want to express that idea with, and it may not be the best form. When people spend an unusually long time talking about work and not letting people look at the work, see the work, experience the work, react to the work, I think that draws a little question in my mind about, do they really understand what they're actually creating, what the photographs are that they're actually creating? So again, there's a line between not saying anything and saying too much. And I think part of our job as the people creating photographs, as the people creating work, is we need to find the line between making sure that we can articulate and discuss our work, but not so much that we basically put too much into the work that's not really there, or we have too much of the concept done and not enough of the actual photography creation part done. So it's finding the balance between those. So as you look at your work, if you find that you can't say anything about it, but you like it, you need to spend more time on that. But if you find that you spend a lot of time explaining a photograph to somebody so that they get it, you might be spending too much time talking and not enough time actually really creating the photograph that represents and expresses what you're trying to say. Similar to that, I think it's too much time spent seeing. And seeing is a fine line here. I had to come up with, you know, a consolidated way of saying that. But I think there is this idea where we see more than is really there in the photograph. And I've talked about this being an emotional connection. It might be the memory effect of your situation when you took the photograph, all the ideas, smells, sights, psychology that went into that photograph that actually isn't present in the photograph. This is similar to that, and this kind of edges along that line that we oftentimes see a lot more in a photograph than is really there. And that helps us choose lens, that helps us choose f-stops, that helps us choose focal length, shutter speeds, all those concepts that allow us to build the photograph in an interesting way. However, just like with talking too much, sometimes we see things that aren't there, or we don't see things that are there. So our seeing too much is a target fixation. We miss the bigger picture, or we put too much into the photograph, and we in fact see more than is there. The problem with that is somebody else is not going to see more than there. They're only going to see what's in the photograph. And so we really have to take time and attention to learn to see what's actually present in the photograph and no more. We can't assume that the viewer is going to make this inferential leap with us to understand the context of the photograph. We have to make sure that the context exists within the photograph. It's similar to when we're creating strong narratives and we're putting together a collection of photographs. We want to make sure we choose the strongest of the photographs for the narration we're telling, and no photograph should be a bad photograph. But at the same time, we don't have to use the standard conventions of narrative storytelling to tell a story that anybody would tell. We have so many options in selecting and editing photographs that allow us to tell a story a certain way that part of that is allowing that narration to come through in the way we want. If we see too much in too many ways and too many differences from what people would expect, we may derail the ability to see something. So you have to make sure that we, again, just like talking, we want to walk that line between being able to see something and not being able to see something. And I also think this is one of the reasons that there's a phenomena with, well, if you're an outdoor photographer, you know this, you're tired. Or if you've been on a tour overseas and you've been in a new city and you're just walking around and you're getting tired and you're getting more exhausted as the day continues. And then all of a sudden you start making some really good photographs. In a lot of ways, it's because you're seeing because you're tired. You're allowing this wave of exhaustion to wash over you, which is starting to block out some of that other noise and those assumptions we would make in seeing too much of something. And you're forced to accept only that which is in front of you. So there is a benefit to getting up a little early and a benefit to staying up a little late if it, for no other reason than it helps you get some control and get a little window of time where your brain can shut off that overseeing that happens within the world. I think the last major one I wanted to talk about is this notion of time and too much time. Good artists, and all artists, and when you talk to painters, when you go talk to sculptors, you know, no matter where you live, go find an artist that you think is particularly successful and ask them what they do to make successful art. And what they'll tell you is they get up and work. They don't wait for inspiration. And we've talked about all this stuff before on the podcast. They don't wait for inspiration. They don't wait for something magic to happen. They don't wait for lightning to happen. They get up and work, and they work every day on their project. They start with a basic idea, even if it's just a simple line across a piece of paper. That sketch turns into something, and then they pick up a paintbrush that ultimately leads to canvas. They start chiseling on stone, not even knowing what's necessarily there to create the sculpture. Time is one of those things, if you have too much of, and there is no deadline there, it is easy to distract yourself. It is easy to convince yourself that you're working on things that are important without having to get anything done. Time is the thing that pushes us to complete something. It's why if you go on a photographic trip, and people a lot of times tell me like, oh, I have such a hard time photographing at home. But when I go to like on a road trip, if I go to a place I've never been, if I'm in a city for a weekend, I just feel like I can get so many more photographs taken. It's because you have a deadline. You're only going to be in Vancouver, BC for 2 days. You're only going to be in Chicago for 3 days. You're going to Europe for 2 weeks. You're going to be in 12 cities, and you're not going to be back for 2 years or 10 years or ever again in your life. So the pressure to create is there because the time is constrained. At home, there's always tomorrow. There's always the next day. So we need to eliminate that notion of too much time. Less time creates a constraint that says something has to be done. When that something gets done, we get rewarded with the satisfaction of having completed something. And when something is completed, it frees up the space for something else to fill into that slot. Because that's the other challenge with too much time, is we piddle around and we work on things and we never really get anything done, but the to-do list gets longer and longer and longer of the things we need to create. If you think about your creative life as you have so many things that you're supposed to create that are, no matter what your creator belief is, no matter what your religious belief is, let's say like you get a list when you're born as an artist creator that says you're going to create 180,000 things or 2 million things or 5 million things or 6 things. That constraint is there that you have a certain amount of time to finish those. If you don't finish all of those, you didn't finish it, and they're lost. So part of our job is to try to make sure that we don't allow this belief that, oh, there's always tomorrow to create. There's always tomorrow to work on my photographs. There's always tomorrow to make that print, to lure us into a false sense of security that we can do that, because the to-do list is long and we need to make sure we fill that up. And by fill that up, I mean complete the tasks that are on the list. So too much time, seeing too much, talking too much, processing much, too much gear, all things that can cause a problem for us in our creative practice and in our photography. You probably have several other ones that you maybe can come up with of, oh, I do this too much. No, I get started and I reorganize my Lightroom catalog too much because I feel like if I had the perfect organizational system, I'd be more successful and I'd be more creative. What you'd be more creative at is picking one and sticking with it. Now, make sure it makes sense, but picking one and moving forward. So as you think about your too muches this week, I'd encourage you to write them down, journal on them a little bit. That'll help you get some insights into how to deal with them, process them, and let them go. And then prioritize what you're going to kind of do to deal with those when you're out in the field. And if you have a sin of one big one, you know, maybe work on that a little bit, but also don't forget to tick off those small ones. Small successes oftentimes help us make bigger successes. So don't just work on the one hard one and get frustrated and feel like you can't succeed. Work on several small ones that you can tick off the box. Too many things on the too much list could be frustrating. So shortening that list up could be helpful. Anyway, I hope you don't have too much to do this week and you get out and actually get to do something fun and creative with a camera or with a piece of paper and pencil or mowing the lawn in a big circle, whatever makes you feel creative. Hope you have a great week. Don't forget, you can always find us up on all the places podcasts are found. And I hope you have a great week. I'll see you next time.